A visit to the carp detective. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. This summer, an Asian carp was caught beyond the electric barrier meant to keep the species out of Lake Michigan. As WSIU's Jennifer Fuller reports for Great Lakes Today, the fish was sent to researchers at Southern Illinois University. They want to figure out just how it got there.
This one fish is getting a lot of attention, but Asian carp aren't like most other fish. And that explains why a lot of time and millions of dollars is spent to keep them out of the Great Lakes. Two varieties, silver carp and bighead carp, pose the biggest threat because of their feeding habits.
They consume fairly large quantities of zooplankton, which are tiny microscopic animals that are found in the water column and that Asian carp use for food, and also most fishes use as food at least at some point in their life.
That's SIU fisheries researcher Greg Whitledge. He's running tests on the fish caught in the Little Calumet River, about 9 miles from Lake Michigan. Asian carp aren't native to the United States. They were imported in the 1970s to filter water in fish farms in the South, but flooding took them to other waters, and they continue to spread. Whitledge says the silver carp he's examining weighed about 8 pounds.
It was a mature fish. It was a mature male, based on the examination of the gonads. So it was an adult. Of course, fish keep growing throughout their lifetime, so it certainly hadn't reached its maximum growth potential.
But how it got past the electric barrier is another question, one that Whitledge says he can't answer just yet. He and his team have dissected the fish and sent samples for further analysis.
We remove the otoliths, which are ear stones within the fish, and we use the chemistry of these structures as an indicator of where the fish has spent time previously. That's because these structures reflect the chemistry of the water where the fish has been.
There's three different pairs of otoliths, and this is one of the types.
Those otoliths contain a roadmap of sorts. Researchers can examine microscopic evidence of where a fish has lived. They can also get information from the fish's bones.
Bones, at least certain bones within the fish, and these otoliths or ear stones contain rings in them, much like rings found in trees. And those rings are formed during the winter months when the fish is growing very slowly. And so by counting those, we can estimate how many winters the fish has been through and therefore the fish's age. Anyway, so what we do is we go through the center of this. We take a saw.
Whitledge cuts the bones and otoliths into razor-thin slices, mounts them on a slide, and then sends them to a lab with high-powered microscopes and mass spectrometers. He says while the discovery of this silver carp is a surprise, it's not time to panic yet. He says there's no evidence of a self-sustaining population near Lake Michigan.
It's still only one individual.
As he continues his tests, he's also curious about an odd trait of the silver carp. They're known to leap out of the water as boats go by.
We've seen this several times in our own vessels here from SIU out on the rivers. And that does pose some risk, of course, to people being hit by flying carp and being hit by a 15-pound carp with a solid bony head is no fun.
He says the fish seem to jump because they're startled by the boats and want to get away from the noise and vibration. But why don't they just swim away? It's one of the many questions he's hoping to answer. This is Jennifer Fuller for Great Lakes Today in Carbondale, Illinois.
Great Lakes Today is a collaboration of WBFO Buffalo, IdeaStream Cleveland, and WXXI Rochester. For more stories, go to greatlakestoday.org. That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.